Okay, you're recording.
All right, so let's open the regular meeting of public hearing of the North Bend Planning Commission for Thursday, April 28th, 2016. Present are Mike McCarty from the City of North Bend. The purpose of this legislative meeting is to discuss the proposed amendments to North Bend Municipal Code 18.40 bulk and dimensional standards concerning minimum lot size in the constrained low density residential zone. This meeting is being recorded and minutes will be available on the city's website. First item is to approve our agenda for the evening. Does anybody have a motion for it? Okay, and a second. So we have a motion by Mr. Lucky, second by Ms. Gildersleeve. Any changes or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of tonight's agenda say aye.
Aye.
The agenda is approved. Next item on the agenda is the approval of minutes for April 14th, 2016 meeting. So do I have a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Lucky and a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Miller. Any changes or comments? Okay. All those in favor of approving the minutes for April 14th, 2016 say aye.
Aye.
Okay, next item on the agenda is the public hearing concerning amendments to North Bend Municipal Code 18.40 bulk and dimensional standards concerning minimum lot size in the constrained low density residential zone. I will officially open the public hearing at 7:05. Seeing no one from the public present, then I will go ahead and close the public hearing. Also, nobody from the public to comment on non-agenda items. So we'll move on then to item number 5, which is the Planning Commission's deliberation and recommendation to amendments to North Bend Municipal Code 18.40 bulk and dimensional standards concerning minimum lot size in the constrained low-density residential zone. Can I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I have... changes to the statute we were looking at last time, and I welcome a period of comment on it.
Okay, so I have a motion by Mr. Ryan. Do I have a second? And a second by Ms. Miller. So I'll open it up for Planning Commission discussion or changes. Mike, is there any updates that you want to give us before we go in?
Just what's in the packet there reflects the amendments that you requested at your prior meeting. Those were just some amendments in 1810.030 concerning permitted uses in the constrained low density residential zone. So you wanted to add adult family homes, you wanted to remove daycares, and you wanted to add parks. So those amendments are in there. So we also provided the staff report that just provides clarification of the amendments and some findings about process and procedure. So that's what the cover thing is there.
Thank you, Mike. Who'd like to go first on the Planning Commission?
So I've got a couple.
Okay.
I think they're really just edits of technical stuff, not substantive, except for the next one I've
done.
So I'm looking at Section 1, Number 2, which is the red line that we're looking at from tonight's. By the way, I have to say I'm chuckling because the original was formatted in a different direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just easier to keep it all in the...
My simple mind is trying to go, wait a minute, I said this here, and I changed this here. So forgive me if I missed something. But one thing that caught me just as I was starting to read this, it reads, the CLDR district is recognized for having larger lots and development constraint. Is it constraint or constraints?
Mm-hmm.
And then... having larger lots or development, should that word be and?
It's not necessarily. It could be an and or.
Okay, so I'm done with the frivolous stuff. And the next one I look at is the last sentence of that paragraph. Furthermore, large estate size in excess of 18,000 square feet minimum lot size is the intent. To me, it's kind of like, what's the point of saying that?
Mm-hmm.
kind of run into this all the time when we have things in our code that are suggestions or kind of like to have. It's like this willy-nilly. It's if there's an intent in there that we're not saying emphatically, we may as well not say it.
Mr. Chair, I have a reaction to that because I think it may be responding to my concerns about making sure it stays 18,000 rather than having it subdivided at some future point. Whereas the intent of this zone was to keep the lots large in perpetuity, whether it's by deed or otherwise.
So should it say lot sizes shall be in excess of 18,000 square feet?
Well, this is just the purpose and intent section. So when you get into the meat of the regulations in the bulk and dimensional standards in 1810.040, that's where it specifically prescribes the minimum lot size shall be 18,000 square feet.
So then I'm back to the same question, really. Do we need to spell out that intent there if we've got it as a control device later on?
This is just the direction that came. This is a cut and paste from the interim regulations that the council provided.
Okay. So,
yeah, there's a lot of the public that aren't so, look at these as emphatically as we do.
Right. Like the warm, fuzzy. Right, right. I usually like the warm, fuzzy thing. I normally would defer to fuzzy. But that just struck me as I was reading it. I'm thinking, we're not really saying much there. We're just kind of thinking about it. So, that was the point. And then the next one I have. From my hit list is paragraph number 3. And this may be right back to your point, Nick. To me, the conversation, a mention of cottage housing when we're talking about constrained residential is a conflict. It's two separate zones.
Well, that's the intent here, is to remove the ability to do cottage housing from the constrained residential zone. As it read before, you could do it subject to what's called a planned neighborhood development, and up to 15% of the homes could be cottage homes.
Sorry, I'm just having to reread this to make sure I understand. So if everybody else doesn't make anybody else flinch, I'm not going to spend any more time.
And your specifically, I use the plural zones. That should go back to a zone. Singular is what I'm talking about, the LDR zone.
Yeah, yeah.
The strike
it's true.
LDR. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Good point.
Those are not appropriate.
Yep. No, it's
good.
Actually, the book I read that highlighted section. The original intent of the CLDR was to recognize environmental constraints. So it's interesting how that shifts. So I guess that's my personal thing is the original intent of CLDR was actually something very different. And this is the process. Mm-hmm. And it becomes something completely different.
Because of the name we gave it.
Mm-hmm.
City Council said constraint.
Oh, good.
Let's run with that.
Good catch. That's a very important.
Well, no, because when that was the original intent, it was expanded from the original area that we indicated. It was primarily marking areas of floodway.
We were providing an avenue for people's constraint property. At least that's some potential for development.
It was more that it was to reflect the reality of those spaces because of existing constraints on construction, particularly in lots that were primarily floodway, where there cannot be construction under current regulations at a much higher level actually than this city. So that's my little point. Not that it's going to shift. But whenever I read that, it reminds me of what are we actually starting with the CLDR and what it's now morphed into.
The Is there a, maybe this is a WAG number, but I'm curious, since we've basically created a new zone and we'll soon apply it, I mean, literally within 12 months.
Well, the zone is already in effect. The constrained low density residential zone is already on the map. It exists. The amendments here are just changing the minimum lot size within it.
So, well, I guess I'm, the final part of that, I guess, is what I should say. Final iteration of it is about to be used.
Yeah.
Or not used. I
appreciate the distinction Liz was making, that the original purpose was to, because of the constraints on the land, not that we're just looking for large lots, but a lot of the land is constrained by environmental issues.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it clear that any future tightening up of that, where you might want to add a lot or more, we're talking about going from 8,000 maybe down to 9,000 at some future time.
And what it is realistically when you overlay the flood map was that many of those properties have exactly what I had in my mind, which is when you approach a really beautiful walk, you've got these houses that are right on top of each other, that they were able to do to make very narrow, long lots. And there are a number of properties in there that you could have had a similar thing occur had it stayed as it was. And there are actually a number of lots in there that are completely in the floodway and are, in essence, unbuildable. So that was the intent. This just puts it so much more in your face, mm-hmm. what it's become. And that was every time I read through any of it, that's what catches me. Is that it's not representing the original intent at all.
This is where the Planning Commission meets the City Council.
No, no. The recommendations, they decide what to do with it. That's right. The way it works.
There's a glaring thing that I noticed where the LDR, there's a finger of it that reaches down in between constrained, and I'm wondering the logic of
that represents what's already in the city limits. So
okay.
I think one
all
of the
right.
things the council was looking to do was, to the maximum extent possible, just okay. apply this outside of the city limits, current city limits, that didn't affect as many homeowners. Where
so,
it does affect property within city limits is
yeah.
just east of Wood River, and then also up to the northern part of the
yeah.
city where you've got those lots near Meadowbrook Farm.
Right, so this matches up with your point to say that this no longer is a land use related decision. This is a political decision about density.
I do think that section there is part of a special flood hazard area, but I actually don't think that that's floodway. The floodway was primarily along that curve.
Well, when I look at that, it goes along the lines of the density towards the center and more rural on the outskirts.
No, and I think that it serves a purpose in kind of what their vision is. And yes, it'll be nice not to have huge developments right up against the freeways people drive through this beautiful place. But again, the change in intent, it's more of an academic point of this, but it's just interesting to see how that shifts from what we said.
I think it's more than academic. I do think that if people read the language and recognize the property as being constrained environmentally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we do this, not because we want large lots, because we didn't afford large lots, actually, they would probably.
Well, in the previous outline, absolutely, it was focused on areas that had environmental constraints. The expansion of it brought in some properties that don't have those constraints. But actually, a number of them are not even special flood hazard areas.
Well, I'd argue, though, that you have more slope on some of those properties, or you can say that they're wildlife-sensitive areas.
Absolutely.
And so you can apply it.
There are other reasons for an environmental. I just did,
you wonder
again.
Why did the city want to annex those constraints? Subject to low density development, why would they want index?
That's a good future point question, right?
Mm-hmm. But
so
if they need
where they are, because they don't really generate enough tax base, tax revenue, focus, etc.
Or why build it?
Well, but in the end, it's going to depend on whether or not the property owners come to the city and
yeah.
request it.
Yeah. And with this zoning, it would be less likely to have desired tenants.
You're not going to have a developer going in there and pushing it through.
Has there been, along this process, has there been any real comment from the property owners?
Uh-huh. At the city council meeting when they discussed applying the zone in October, was it?
Yeah, that's right.
When they had the public hearing, there was a couple of property owners that they had their zoning changed from 4 to 2.
There's a lot of misunderstanding, too, though, in what that really meant. I know that I had people who asked questions, and they actually thought it was they were going to be allowing industrial development in those areas. It wasn't clearly communicated. I think there was a little misinformation circling that created a great deal of confusion.
And so, Mike, is it correct? Part of what this does is separate LDR and CLDR, so it would be clearer to read.
Yeah, that's great.
So that's a plus.
That's a good. Mm-hmm.
Adding pages, but. Okay, well, if there's no changes to that section, Jim, you've still got the floor? Do you have
I'm thinking through what Elizabeth has just said, and I'm wondering if we shouldn't, and also what Dick has brought up about a tent. And the nuances of the language that we've used to get to this place. It's obvious to me that we began this, and I think there's a very similar zone in Snoqualmie, so I'm sure we probably started off with their language and have adapted it. And I think it's pretty clear that from the beginning I've been going, don't do this, however we are here where we are. But now I'm looking at it thinking, you know, in effect, to the point we just made, we missed really clarifying why we did it in the first place. That, Mitch, that point's been kind of missed.
I wouldn't say that it's missed. It's been changed. It was clearly articulated in the regulations previously that it wasn't intended for environmentally constrained properties. And the council, in considering that, decided to expand that reach to more rural character type properties.
Mm-hmm. Which just happens to fall outside the city limits, which was my next point. It's like if you look at what the map looks like now that it's been applied, it's kind of like, what's the next iteration of that? Because those folks now that are in that zone, they won't be able to say 5 years from now that they're going to have a better zone if they become annexed into the city. So those land values are going to, relative to the city limits, are going to depreciate relative to the land right next to them. Why would they ever, in the foreseeable future, become part of the city? So it's in effect, based on the original intent of kind of guiding the folks with issues on the land to help them, we've now, in effect, shut them out. That to me is kind of like, not sure what to do with that at this point in time, but it's pretty obvious when you look at what the result is.
I wonder what the county is thinking about this particular area, if they're thinking about even being tougher than here.
Probably.
I think that the
because you don't
the
have
review that they're doing right now. Related to the dike system and just the entire reach of the river. Some of the properties in that area are in areas of concern related to potential I-90 damage in the event of a significant flood. So it is an area that they have concern with. There are several properties in there.
Jimmy mentioned about a year ago, didn't he? You came in and said that you were aware of a neighbor who had a knock on the door asking why the county was saying asked if they wanted to sell their property.
Yes. That was related to the dike considerations. Several of those same neighbors that I've kind of talked to have said, you know, market value has gone up on their property and the conversation with the county's gone silent. So that's kind of like, how big is a coffer? The market value goes up, the county's coffer can't keep up with it. That's what their suspicion is.
not necessary.
I don't know if that conversation's still going on or planning, so maybe if they can't buy it.
They have a lot of projects. Well.
Yeah.
They're funding so much of it with the King County Flood Control District. Many of the projects, they've had a few that became more kind of emergent situations where they shifted things and focus because they were big problems.
Imagine every winter they've got to step and fetch a bit.
Mm-hmm. And we're not the only area that has issues with failing dikes or levees systems.
So to get us back on track a little bit, if there's a question about where we've applied it, can't really discuss it now, but the technical details of how it's applied, we can. That helps. Property values could increase just because they're larger lots, and the city doesn't have larger, you know, lots, right? So if they're outside the city limits, doesn't necessarily hurt their property values if that's what the demand is for. So it just really depends. Location.
Yeah. What's the process now from this? Let's assume we get to a point where we approve these modifications. What really happens next?
It would go back up to the city council, and the city council would adopt it. It would be effective a couple days later.
They would amend it some form.
Maybe.
As they always do.
Well, the direction, the interim regulation that you're considering came from the council. That's something that they adopted as an emergency. I don't have a crystal ball, but I would guess that they would probably be ready to adopt.
The majority of the council members, the newer members, want low density everywhere. So
they're going to sure.
And Mike, I believe that the mayor, even sometimes if there's not a public hearing, asks for public comment.
That's right. So every agenda item that comes before the council, the mayor offers opportunity for somebody to speak to the agenda item.
So that's also another opportunity for property owners. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Since I may still have the floor, technically, I just have a question for the other commissioners. Does anybody else have the same sense that when we put this together in the beginning, it's evolved to a place that we didn't expect?
I had advocated for another zone to be applied for areas that had the 3/4 of an acre or larger so that we could preserve some of the larger home sites within the city. Mm-hmm. This is a way that kind of gets you there. I'm not sure why we don't, you know, call it instead of constrained, just make it low density and have LDR as L4. Or something like that, you know, or get away from density and just, you know, call it something different. But I think having a mix of housing is a good thing for our city because we have so many outdoor people, we have so many families, but we also, you know, have a lot of LDR. That's 47 or 43% of our city. To have a mix where there is still some larger homes versus just the tiny sprinkling of some areas. I think that provides a better mix for some families, and then we can create some higher density areas that provide another type of housing for others. The city council just at the last meeting did pass the HDR and the Tanner overlay where there's going to be some low income housing. So we're still at 3%. Of our city is HDR. I'd like to see that go to 5 at least. So I don't know if that answers your question. From my perspective, I think there's a mix, and we have a healthy mix in most areas. So I'll let Elizabeth go.
I think I made it clear from my comments that I think we went somewhere that wasn't intended.
Yep.
I do think, actually, to follow up on that, it's going to create a situation of pressure that forces further development of the areas inside.
Right.
I think there'll actually be more pressure on the LDR to allow more housing.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at what that leaves us.
There's a lot of the red that can be redeveloped.
Mm-hmm.
And
that it is restricted.
A lot of views are, yes, but a lot of views are to start more there and then work our way out. And the problem, you want the walkability, you want close to services for higher density, but at the same time, you have affordability to consider. So that's where I think, you know, we look at some other areas. But we're off topic, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody else thoughts on Jim's question?
Well, it's easy to just say, okay, let's just send this up and let city council accept whatever they've got going. I'm not thinking there has been a time where I've felt this much disjointed between what the original conversations were a year plus ago and then what the result by the hand of the city council has become. And it's troubling to me. I think it's at the wrong time for, you know, economically, for people have come through a water moratorium that just ended reasonably, just ended. The economies of development have just come where people can do things with their land. And now, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's a big number of our land near the city has now gotten a layer of less development potential, less ability to come into the city, because those people won't economically choose to do it based on the zoning we've just given them. And it's the wrong thing to do at the wrong time. And I'm not sure exactly what the solution is, but I don't think it's a send it up, it's fine answer. That's not my sense right now.
Just I don't disagree with you, but I think one thing to keep in mind is what the council's asked you to do is to look at the lot size requirement and not the zone as a whole.
And I think the caveat to that request is appreciated, but also this is the first time we've all been together, I think, when the zone is actually on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
That the representation of what the language says is now all of a sudden a pretty vivid, pardon my French, but holy crap. Mm-hmm. So part of me wants to say, okay, let's go to the next thing, but I also want to add a caveat, and I propose... Are we still in the middle of the last motion?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yes.
Robert's rules here.
Mm-hmm. You're fine.
So a friendly amendment to the motion is to give notice to the city council that we are vividly aware that our original intent is not represented here in the final product. And then wherever that conversation might go from that, it's up to them.
Does anybody disagree with that? So, Mike, is that something we could put in the report?
Yeah.
So notice that we...
I stand in June or no.
Okay.
For me, it's an issue of consistency. And the fact that it's being applied unevenly. I would have to take a look at the flood map again, because that's what we used, really, in outlining that initially. In the area that would be affected. So we're looking at, you know, the part in the city was miraculously spared, while the area outside of the city has this overlay put on it. So for me, it's the consistency and the fact that it is not the original intent. I'm actually fine with us reducing the density in those areas. I think it's smart. It's an area of higher risk. It's already limited for development potential for a number of the lots based on the floodway designation. But again, it's an issue of consistency and having it kind of just expanded. And I'm on board with putting it in an area where there are sharp, there are steep slopes. That's a different type of environmental hazard. But it just, when you go back to, in some respects, defend the purpose. When it has expanded beyond those boundaries, where there are those definite environmental constraints, it just doesn't fit what we were attempting to show, which was...
I think that probably is more agricultural use in there than any residential, frankly. It is
lots of open fields.
Yeah.
beautiful area. It's great that it, you know.
Like the Kent Valley, it's right there, but we're ignoring the fact that it's.
Yeah, but again, it's the consistency. And.
Elizabeth, when you say those areas, are you referring to the area you were looking at initially or the areas that are resulted? You mentioned we were looking at those areas.
So, initially, where we were looking very closely at where the lines of the special flood hazard area followed. And it is my recollection that when we were drawing the outline, we looked at the tax lots as well. So in some places it went outside areas, a special flood hazard area, because they were following along tax lots in order to make it so you didn't have part of a tax lot in part out. That was my recollection. And it did include some of those areas in yellow without the overlay. So again, an issue of consistency. And that's my thing on that, is that it's
consistent to the original logic, you mean?
Exactly.
Right.
Consistent to the original logic.
Can I see if I can summarize this correctly so that I can put it into the staff report? So, Jim, your friendly amendment, as I understand it, is to provide notice to the council that the CLDR expansion, as adopted by council, does not reflect the Planning Commission's original intent and recommendation for the zone to specifically address environmentally constrained areas correlating with the floodplain boundary.
Yes. At least for me, says.
It exceeds, exceptionally exceeds our original intent, I think, is the way I would say it. So it's not just it doesn't fit, it's like they've taken and run with the ball down past the 100-yard line.
For me, Mike, I like the original definition rather than just the flood areas. That's something that I had asked where we also talked about wildlife and fish habitat. Wetlands. So I think that little blurb is a copy, just this is what our original intent was. That's okay.
So one more time, Mike, trying to help you as okay. the poor scribe over there trying to keep up with this.
Friendly amendment to provide notice to the council that the CLDR expansion is adopted by council exceeds the Planning Commission's original intent and recommendation for the CLDR zone to specifically address environmentally constrained areas correlating with the floodplain boundary.
The only word I'd add is you got the word exceeds. I would use the word significantly exceeds.
Okay.
And I don't know if I have my.
It's your motion.
I actually do think the addition that Gary mentioned.
Strike the flood at the end of that. And you could just copy such as frequently flooded areas, geologically hazardous areas, river and stream corridors, channel migration areas, wetlands, and native wildlife and fish habitat, which is point two on page one.
Page one of Exhibit A?
Yes, section one. It's right after the comma.
Okay.
That way it's... Mm-hmm. What we were thinking.
Mm-hmm. And if that's ready to go on that, I'll make my comment later.
So I'll second that. So motion by Mr. Lucky, second by Mr. Fancher, and all those in favor of putting that statement which Mike read in the report, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
That is unanimous. Okay, Mr. Lucky.
Just as a follow-on to that, part of my thought is the reason to say that, quote, out loud and technically on the record, is I hope that the city council will go, let's think about this a minute. And then they can perhaps readdress that they might have gone with wild abandon when they shouldn't have. That's my hope. I'd love to see this whole thing back again in 6 months. Maybe we've got some other zones that we're tweaking along the way. And then, question for you. I know inside the county, every development requires a critical area designation process. So that if you want a permit for a house or a bean and weenie factory, you've got to start off with critical area designation from the county to say this is your constrained areas, this is, you can set back from this. Do we have a similar inside the city?
Or is we have our critical areas mapping that shows likely areas of critical areas.
Right.
And if it's in an area that's likely to contain critical areas, or if it's an area that contains significant vegetative cover where it's not obviously not critical areas, we require the developer to provide a letter from a qualified professional indicating whether there are or are not critical areas present.
Same kind of thing in the county. It's worth mentioning the process, I guess, because if you went for a, you can't just go for a building permit if you're in the rural areas. You can't just go get a septic permit even. Mm-hmm. You've got to go through critical areas designation first and prove you've got water rights from somewhere, and then you can apply for a septic, which leads to the building permit. So I look at this area around us, which is still technically in King County control, right? Mm-hmm. So we have laid a zone over the land that the county is going to have to deal with through their critical area designation process anyway.
Well, somebody would have to go through the counties in the urban growth area outside city limits. As soon as it's annexed to the city, they're just dealing with the city.
So do we have any of this zone that's technically in the city now?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
I was pointing at the space earlier that I got my attention, this drop-down area that's still high-density or low-density residential. Kind of stands out amongst the other because they're not in the city, right?
Yeah.
Areas around it.
The area east of Wood River and then the area up by Meadowbrook Farm, you can see the crosshatching up there. Those two are in city limits in the CLDR zone.
Fascinating stuff. Yeah.
So, Mike, I have one question for you. In commercial uses, I do not see farming. And if I had a CLDR lot, why couldn't I farm it?
Looking at the table?
Mm-hmm.
So agriculture uses?
Yeah. Or is it under something?
So under Section 6, resource uses. Commercial, farm, produce, and related. That you can see there, it's not allowed in the LDR or CLDR zone. It's maybe something that's potentially you could consider in the CLDR zone given the larger lot sizes. However, there are impacts of farming uses, sights, sounds, smells,
that
some people might find a bit objectionable.
But we can do farmland, pasture, crop uses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Sorry, I was looking in the wrong section. Page 23. It's under Section 6, Resource.
I'm remembering that between North and Snoqualmie and the smell of silage in the air. I think that we think people complain about this, the sewer plant periodically.
Hey, rural character.
I'm thinking, I know, you like the rural character, it comes with smells.
So, can I make a quick point of just trying to get my head around and confirm what I'm thinking, Mike, if you would. This area here, and this area here, is the only constrained residential area inside the city limits.
No, look straight up from where you're
straight.
up to the northwest.
Sorry, thank you. So there's kind of three chunks. This area here and these three.
That's right.
Everything else is outside of the city, but inside our urban growth boundary,
mm-hmm.
which means it's a candidate for future. Mm-hmm. As far as the county's concerned, they think we have it fixed, right? That's their view of it. The county's perspective.
Yeah, it's in the rural area, so it's intended eventually to be annexed in the
city. Density projections are based on what's the worst thing.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too. If we start squeezing down on the land use, we could eventually, I mean, I can't imagine right now because we've got so much time, but we may very well run up against the Growth Management Act and not have enough projected density to serve the plan that we need to use, right? I mean, that's...
Well, we have, our targets are considerably lower than our capacity.
Yeah.
So it's not an issue even with the lower density proposed here.
And our comp plan is good for 7 years?
20 years.
20 years?
The project? Well, we have to update it every 7 years, but you
and
plan out
when
20 years.
But when we get our next set of projections or allocation,
yeah,
is 7 years?
Yeah.
7 years. So at least for 7 years.
First time.
And so in 7 years, they could come and say, well, 10,000 more people. Well, we'd have to look at zoning. I mean, being that's not likely,
right.
But, you know, we would certainly look at it then.
I'm curious as to how the little island up there got stuck into the constrained low-density residential. Do you recall
what council's intent was on that? Or it was low-density residential. I can't speak to council's intent because I don't know in that case.
Okay.
I'm assuming that it's because of the existing larger lot sizes. There's also a lack of sewer in that area.
Okay.
Good.
It's just the interesting thing is that most of those the LAG in that area for many of those properties is above the BFE. So if people got busy, there'd be a lot of mobiles coming out of that area. Which would kind of, again,
a lot
back
of
to
what?
The original LOMAS letter of map amendment removes them officially from the special hazard area. So yeah, another one of those interesting spots that I see. It was probably because of the lot sizes and the lack of sewer, because then they have to run, if there were any other developments, they'd be running sewer out there, and that I know is a very complicated project.
And I'll throw one more kind of, I'll just call it an opinion, because that is what it is. But
mm-hmm.
As we go down the road, I'm always constantly thinking this through. Ideally, we're thinking 25 years out, and we're saying, let's make sure the infrastructure and the land, everything kind of fits the plan.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, it's like this, you need to be cognizant of the fact that when you put a restriction on the land, it's not going to necessarily turn into what you have in mind. And even though we may call this low density with this idea of 18,000 square foot lots, and the economy may not be there for that. And that land will sit idle for a lot longer than we might imagine. So it's a dance, right?
That it is.
And thanks for listening.
Flood areas change over time, too.
So yeah, we're due for a meander any minute now, I think, maybe next fall.
In 20 years, who knows what it's going to look like.
Yes.
As it gets
yes.
hotter and hotter and rains less.
It's
less.
Quite a kink
yes.
toward the downtown area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll have bigger problems with that one.
Okay, back to our 18.40 and dimensional standards. Any other comments or changes or questions? Are you ready for the question?
I'd just like to say when I've looked at them, I agree with them. I'm not just holding the land right with that.
Yeah.
Great. So sorry.
Yeah. The tweaks we made last time.
Well, thank you, Mike, for making the updates. I do share the commission's frustration with what we had originally intended. However, I joined the council in thanking them for creating a good mix of housing that provides some larger lots for some families, while we also have density for others that, you know, want a more city-like environment. So with that, the motion before you is to approve North Bend Municipal Code 18.40 bulk and dimensional standards concerning minimum lot size in the constrained low density residential zone. All those in favor of accepting the amended section say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
So one opposed from Commissioner Leckie, and the motion passes. Next item on the agenda is administrative and good of the order. Anything for that? Commission? All I'll just add, okay, at the last city council meeting, the vote was unanimous to eliminate future truck parking in the Tanner overlay. That's what it was, yep. Tanner overlay.
Not the Tanner, the East North Bend.
East North Bend overlay. We have too many overlays. And then they also voted in favor of HDR. That was in the Tanner overlay.
Yes.
And that's for the one small section there that borders exit 32 or 436.
Mm-hmm. I was bashing Ellsberg at a statewide meeting of something else. So what was the public reaction to or comments to that?
To which, the truck?
To the truck.
Only the, at this meeting, only the attorney for the current truck stop spoke. And then there were seven or eight other residents who spoke in favor. In favor of the amended section.
No parking.
Right.
Sure.
So if there's nothing else, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And a second? Second by Mr. Lucky. Motion by Mr. Lucky, second by Ms. Miller. All those in favor say aye.
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 We are adjourned at 8:48.
7:50. 7:50. So I got a general...
Or else.